Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine, and today we have special guest Chloe for our Halloween spectacular.
Hi, friends. I'm supposed to say hi. Woo! That's what's in the doc, so... Hi, friends.
Chloe,
missed you.
Chloe's here with me in my house.
So yes.
We are in the same...
And we're in love.
Yes.
Yes.
Mwah.
Mwah.
Okay, so today we are doing the Halloween Spectacular, talking our Halloween faves, memories, costumes, movies, shows, and more. And if you're watching for a special treat, today we are dressed up as our pets, or in Chloe's case...
My dream pet, okay? So if you can't see me... I am dressed as a snake because I've wanted a snake forever. And I look crazy. Crazy, crazy good. Mm.
She looks great.
She looks so cute.
Thank you. Should I just paint myself green every day?
I think you should. Why is green such a good color to paint yourself?
Okay, Alpha Bahoo.
I'm dressed as Bellamy today. I have the bandana that I always put on him from Outlander.
I've had those things for years.
And little ears. I did a poof because he's got a nice poof in his hair.
I mean, I love Christine in a poof. I think when I picture you, I still picture you in a poof, yeah. Even though I never knew you like in it's peak like poof
the,
era.
The thanks. Braided poof. I'm dressed up as Nico, my husky. A little bit on the furry side. Because these ears are definitely what furries buy, but it's okay. Or I look like someone from Cats because...
No, now that you've said furry, I definitely see furry.
Great, I shouldn't have said that.
See, mine, like, these ears that I got on Amazon were the only brown dog ears. They didn't have any floppy ones, like Goofy. I should have just gotten Goofy ears.
Again, I thought Christine was a mouse.
So did
Chloe.
But she's a very cute mouse.
It's okay.
I need to have my tongue out for it to look like a dog.
Just the whole episode.
All right. So we're going to move into our Halloween spectacular nonsense, Halloween memories, Halloween faves. But first, we have a lot of Snap, Crackle, pop culture news today. And I'm going to bring us in first with some Today and Taylor Swift, because a lot of shit has gone down with Taylor Swift in the last 2 weeks. Because we were off last week, so we didn't get to talk about things like Taylor going to the Yankee game with Travis Kelce.
Oh my God, and it was so cute.
It was very cute. And how Shawn Mendes and Joe Jonas decided to move their October 18th album releases, weirdly, right before the 18th. And so we all were like, oh my God, what's coming? Because you know what people do when they find out that Taylor Swift is dropping an album? They move their album date. So we were all very excited because October 18th is also the day that the Eras Tour comes back, that Taylor Swift comes back to work and in Miami. So we were all kind of waiting anxiously for Rep TV. She didn't drop it, but the morning of the 18th, she dropped a reel where she walked into the stadium wearing these jeans and this yellow sweatshirt. I literally have these.
Of course you do.
Like, she's literally wearing an outfit I have.
Yeah.
And she was petting her cat, Meredith. And, oh, no, wait, that was Olivia.
Wait, you should 100% recreate this. If you have the outfit,
recreate
it with Bellamy.
Oh, I know I could. I know. I already have plans.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
Don't worry.
I was worried, so.
I was actually debating wearing it today. I was like, should I just be Taylor Swift with Bellamy today?
No.
But anyway.
No.
Anyway, then for the show, if you missed it, okay, she had a new Fearless outfit, which she's had a lot of new Fearless outfits. But the big thing was that when she came out for Reputation, and I was streaming this as I was walking the dog, because I was like, I can't miss if she announces Reputation. So I was watching the live stream, and she walks out, and she's like in the dark in the beginning of the Reputation section. And then she comes out into the light, and everybody loses their fucking minds because she has yet to ever change her outfit for the Reputation section of the Eras Tour until last night, and it was black and gold, and the snake on it is so much cooler and very reminiscent of the snake that she used to have on stage with her on the Rep Tour that everyone calls Karen. Everyone's like, Karen's back, because it's on her outfit. And it was epic because it was raining, and it started raining during the Rep section, and the lighting is just, oh, there's all these reels from the moment when it transitions from Don't Blame Me to What You Made Me Do, and it's like dun, and then like the light flashes and it's just pouring on her, and she's like dun, like throws her arms out. Oh my god, it was so
it was
epic.
Crazy. Yeah, it was so good. I had no idea it was called Karen. That feels like not a cool name.
Oh, I don't like that.
So it was either a joke in like a Tumblr post. Someone called it to her, I guess. And then she called it in a Tumblr post Karen. And then everyone started calling it Karen.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I learned yesterday.
Oh, I do think that the bodysuit is so beautiful. It's definitely, I think, my favorite.
An upgrade.
Yeah, 100%.
She needed an upgrade. I can't believe she was just wearing that one for the last year and a half.
Well, on purpose. She was planning to make a statement.
I guess. I feel like she's trolling us so hard, though. Part of me feels like she thinks it's funny.
No. There's something here. Because also, you know, another big thing that happened is that she announced that on November 29th, at Target only, there's going to be released a book of photos from the tour with like exclusive like journaly excerpts from her on all of it, like thoughts and stuff throughout the tour. And in the commercial for it, it flips through the book and it stops at the Reputation section and goes through that so you could see it, and then it flips back to the rest of the book. So like, that's also a weird hint,
Christine,
that Reputation is coming.
I'm just tired.
Me too.
We're all tired. Keep believing, because it's going to happen. And this is the clearest sign she's ever given us. She changed the album Rep Tour.
I feel like the albums being postponed was like real evidence. And I was like, this is
it was.
And now I'm like, nothing is real. It's all, I don't know, fake.
I still think it's coming soon, because it has to. It has to. This is the thing. This whole Eras Tour was about re-releasing her fucking albums.
But so she still it's gonna has be another one after it, though.
Yeah, she's still,
I know,
got two
but
more.
Like, I know, but debut can be used in like a way to like complete the reclamation, because it's called Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like Reputation would come first. She has a plan. We're just trying to figure it out. She's made us into crazy people. Trying to figure it out. Like,
what do you mean?
I was thinking
she's
about this last
made
night.
Us into crazy people.
No, we were Chloe, you didn't know me before this, but I was always like, people on the internet are so annoying and so stupid. Like, they don't know anything and they should just stop. But like, then I get sucked in until I didn't get sucked until Rep, because I didn't care about the other drops. And then Reputation is my favorite album, my favorite era. It's the last one. We've seen her do all the other drops, so we've learned what she does leading up to the drops. So she's made us into crazy people watching for these hints that she did before for the other albums. But the anthology is finally going to be available. The entire anthology of the Tortured Poet Society is going to be available on November 29th, only at Target.
Thank
so
God.
Finally, you can get that on record or on CD if you want it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my big Taylor Travis news. They were out a lot. They went out to dinner with Blake and Ryan, if you missed it. Some cute pics.
I have never felt this way about a man before in my life, but I think that Travis looks better with a buzz cut. Sorry. Hot take.
I really would like to see him without the mustache because I feel like he's got too much just hair everywhere.
I love the stash, though. I say keep the stash and cut the hair. You know me, though. I love facial hair.
You do.
I'm going to ride a mustache to the dawn. Yeah.
Christine? Or silence in this?
I don't have any thoughts on Travis, really. Ugh. He's fine.
Okay.
He's a handsome man.
Okay.
But, all right. Also, one more quick thing for Taylor Swift. People Magazine released a special Eras Tour edition that I saw at CVS and thought it was old, but it was new. And in it, she just talks about how the final tour is going to have new songs and new outfits and new surprises to keep everyone excited.
Wow. So, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. All right. You want to take us through this, Natasha?
All right. In Pride and Prejudice news, lots of things dropped over the last few weeks. I did some like heavy reporting here. I just want you all to know because I feel like there has been some like false things happening. Okay. For instance, Christine, like first she sent me a thing where I already knew about that Netflix is doing a Pride and Prejudice TV show. So that news was dropped. However, the person who first reported it was Daily Mail. And they're not always ones to
trust.
And
a reputable source.
Yeah. So they were the first ones that picked it up. Deadline then got a hold of the news. And then they asked Netflix for a quote and they declined. So This is all just a report because... the main report is Netflix is planning on doing a Pride and Prejudice TV show of the book adapted by Dolly Alderton. And she wrote the book, Everything I Know About Love. And I feel that for this project to get off the ground floor, someone from her camp like leaked this to get people excited.
Oh, smart.
Yes. And then there was another follow-up that Daisy Edgar Jones might be playing Elizabeth Bennet, which is also like just a report. Like it's not actually.
That was really smart too.
Yeah.
She's huge.
Yeah. Big brained, all of it.
And a lot of people are like in the like Pride and Prejudice community, which I'm part of, are not
which I'm part of.
They're a little bit bored of this. They're like they think the casting of Daisy is a little boring.
Oh, talk
because to you. It's kind of like it's to be expected.
Yeah, It Girl vibes.
It Girl vibes. She's like the skinny brunette of the time right now. So like it makes sense. Like I think if they want to do Pride and Prejudice, like they've already done a TV series. They've already done a movie.
Get
like,
a blonde in there.
They should get someone who is like they should have a more diverse casting.
Oh, 100%.
Get Margot Robbie.
Skinny blonde.
Yeah, so not to get everyone's hopes down because everyone was very excited about this news. It might not be something that is actually happening. Like
that's
it's
cool, though.
Conniving of them, but very interesting.
Smart, very Slytherin behavior. Yes. I like that Megan put in the chat Detective Detective Natasha for Pride and Prejudice.
I have to know.
She's got her monocle. She's reading the fine print.
I mean, my start was in entertainment news. Like, I had to find the source. I was like, ugh, I need to know. Okay, but in good Pride and Prejudice news, at the exact same time, which I thought was very interesting on their part.
Oh, yeah. We've got the accent, babes.
It happened at the same time. The BBC announced that they are doing a 10-part TV show about Mary Bennet. Okay. So this is a book called The Other Bennet, and it's based on Janice Hadlow's novel of the same name. The series will focus on Mary Bennet, Lizzie's unassuming, she's always the one who's like dressed in Pride and Prejudice and like the brown and the gray and the black, and she's the one who's like plays the piano.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's Mary Bennet. We'll focus on Mary Bennet, Lizzie's unassuming and oft overlooked middle sibling. Unlike her sister, Mary isn't your typical period drama heroine. She is awkward, anxious, preachy, full of facts, a terrible singer, overlooked by her mother, and seemingly destined to an empty dance card for the rest of her life until Mary takes matters into her own hands.
I feel like she's going to be super relatable. And I love so that.
I just hope whoever they cast is actually supposed to be plain looking.
Oh, I doubt it. I'm going to say right now.
It's going to be like one of those people who are actually really pretty, but like at first, maybe without makeup, you think that they look plain.
It feels like it's about to be like a makeover story. Like,
yeah.
Like, this is going to be, like, season three.
They need to do that well, though, because makeover stories, I feel like now, first of all, overdone, epically. No one's ever going to trop Princess Diaries. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
Trop?
Okay, I guess I can't talk today. I went to the club last night. Sorry,
she's a snake, guys.
In the club.
I literally went to the club last night, and I texted Natasha, and I was like, I just left the club, and I felt so cool. But I guess I can't speak today because of it.
We're both on working on 4 hours of sleep, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Anyways. Okay, that's the Pride and Prejudice news, and I hope that you guys are excited and also feel good about me doing my detective work because I don't want hopes to be, like, you know.
Crushed. I love watching your joy. Like, I love watching Christine talk about Taylor Swift because her joy brings me joy. I love watching you talk about Pride and Prejudice because your joy brings me joy. And I don't love it at the same level, but I love that you love it.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's very sweet. I have some big book news that's dropping this week.
I saw this on the dock and I freaked out.
She's like, wait, she's announcing.
I was like, now?
So it's not going to drop. It'll be dropped once this episode goes live. But anyone who's here live, you're getting the scoop a couple days early because it's dropping on Tuesday. But my fifth novel. Wait, drum novel. Roll. My fifth novel is called See You at Twilight. Yeah! And if you've been watching my videos, I've been saying the acronym, which is SIAT.
I like the other acronym better.
My fourth book acronym is TFAFA,
very fun to say.
Okay, but the fifth book is called See You at Twilight, and the first little blurby of like what it's about is dropping. So, Christine Riccio's new adult rom-com, See You at Twilight, where a disillusioned loss school grad who bails on her wedding sets out to visit the settings from her favorite book franchise in a desperate attempt to reclaim her personality. Only her last minute planning means she ends up stuck carpooling with a self-aware sarcastic nerd who's on his own trip of self-discovery. Together they might find love and unearth the best versions of themselves, pitched as Eat, Pray, Love meets Fangirl to Eileen Rothschild at Saturday Books in an exclusive
yeah! So I'm so excited about this one.
Thank you. Me too. I was just so excited to pitch something like fandom related, and Fangirl was just like such a big book for me. Mm-hmm. I felt so seen by that, and I can't wait to write like my own version of something like that. The lead is 25 and she just finished law school.
25.
I know. She just took the bar and she's about to get married to her fiance of 2 years. And then,
so that's not where I'm at 25.
No.
But
what happens?
I love this girl. I love that for her.
She does it.
Yeah,
she
right.
runs away. She pulls a runaway bride and that's how the book starts.
And this is an adult romance.
This is new adult. It's considered new adult, but like, yeah, adult. It's because she's 25. So Saturday... There will be a spice scene. Yes, there will be a spice scene. So Saturday Books is the new adult branch of Wednesday Books.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay. I love the theme. This is a Saturday book.
I didn't even get that.
What's there to get?
I didn't understand that it was Wednesday books and then Saturday books. Like, that's fun. Okay. Are there going to be other days of the week's books?
I don't know.
They're,
I
mean, like, their fantasy brand is Sunday.
What's their adult books?
They're Monday.
This is new adult.
Tuesday feels
middle grade to me. Yeah.
Tuesday does feel middle grade.
Monday's feels adult. Like a child.
No. Monday's child. Really? Maybe Friday. Friday night is like adult. Adult. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, adult. I'm very excited. Wednesday? It's slated for 2026 fall, which sounds so far away. But to be honest, years. I've put like 1,000 words of this book down so far, so I need the
time.
The time. Well, the book is due early next year, and my fourth book is due very soon.
I was going to say like
next week.
Christine can't see me because it's due next week and I'm leaving for 2 months. So
anyway, my next book's called Sea of Twilight. I'm really excited. Fifth book.
Can I just be a proud bestie for a second? How fucking cool is it that you have your fourth and your fifth book lined up already? And you get to be like, oh, well, this is for my fifth. This is for my, like, that's so fucking cool. I'm so proud of you. You bad bitch.
Thank you. That's really nice. I'm kind of freaking out, but it's
that's valid too. Drafts.
Yeah. This must be what like actors feel like when they get like a big role and then they have another one
coming
and then they don't have any other movies coming out for like 2 years. And then they're like, all right, well, my life's going to change in like 2 years, which I feel like is what's going to be happening with you. But knock on wood, because I know you're superstitious, but I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. We'll be with you the whole time. Live, laugh, lovin'.
Live, laugh, lovin'. All right, y'all. So last up in, we have a couple things really quickly. Well, we're working on getting merch up and running. So we're hoping to get Forking Fangirls merch up by November. We ordered sample pieces from the site that we're using now, and hopefully they come. We love them and we can make the site go live.
Are you going to send it to me in Seattle?
Yeah. Once we figure out which one we're going with.
Yep.
So we're very excited about that. My book, Attached at the Hip, my third book, is out right now. If you guys didn't know, I'm an author. That's what I was just talking about with my new book. and it's called Attached at the Hip. It's a Survivor-esque rom-com. I love it. It is my favorite child that has been born. And if you read her and loved her, Attached at the Hip, available wherever books are sold and link in the show notes. It's really, really helpful to me if you review her on your favorite, or not favorite, wherever you got her, wherever you read her. So if you did Audible there, it's very helpful on Amazon to review it, because that's how all these sites,
the algorithm
shows the book to new readers. It's just based on like how many reviews it has. So if you could take a second, just write anything a little there. You know, it doesn't have to be elaborate, or just like rating it. If you liked it, it's really helpful. So thank you so much. If you've already done that, I really appreciate you.
I did. Do I get a gold star?
Thank you. You do. Thank you. Gold star. I also just want to mention, because this was so fangirly giddy to me to watch, the Suki Waterhouse prank calling Robert Pattinson for Elle magazine.
That was so fun when it just like popped up. I was like, ah, I know.
So she prank calls him on speakerphone.
Not the plane. I loved it. We're starting to get these like fun interviews again and like just silly things. Like bring that back. I love the silly.
Well, she like calls him and she's like, hi, my darling angel.
Oh, the British in like, them, I love.
Oh, and he's like, hi, did you just call me Peppa Pig? And she's like, yes, that's my darling angel. Or like, I forget what he said, something random. And then she's like, hi, so I was just, I got the offer to host that show Love is Blind. And I was thinking we could do it together. And he's like,
what?
I'm sorry, are you joking? She's like, I think it'd be really good for you. And he's like, I'm sorry. Are you mad?
I love that they like, she also had to remind him like, no, that show we watched together. Like they watched it together. I'm wondering like the UK version
I bet.
The USA. Yeah.
I bet it was the UK version because I don't remember that. Like, are you my type?
I don't remember that in the UK version.
You know, we all know how Chloe feels about Love is Blind, so.
What? I don't know how you feel
about it. I don't know how you feel about Love is Blind.
Oh, really?
I feel nobody like knows.
Okay. Well, okay. You're all about to. Okay. It makes me lose faith in humanity.
Specifically regular men. Regular men don't make you lose faith in humanity, too.
Not the men I know. They're better than the men that they fucking get on the show, man. The men that they get on Love is Blind, I think they pulled out of a sewer, most of them.
A lot of them they did.
A lot of them. And some of the women, too. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What is going on?
Chloe, they're looking for good television as well as love.
No, I know. And see, that's my issue with, like, love-based reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just...
I really struggle with it because it's all about the show. And I get that's why people want to watch. But it really disheartens me. And, like, I get
I'm still
sad.
Rooting for love so much from these people. Like, there's the one couple from Love is Blind right now that by the time this goes live, we'll know if they got to the altar or not. But, like, Garrett and Taylor... really want them to make it.
There's a few couples from Love is Blind that I genuinely feel like are wonderful humans and are going to make it. And there's obviously the first season, what's their name?
I don't know their names. Yeah.
I don't remember. Cam,
yeah. But like I struggle now to watch it in its later seasons because I feel like everyone is on there just like with The Bachelorette for the wrong reasons, like
I'm just so entertained by like the experimental aspect of it, like the fact that you don't see them. I feel like that part of it, like you can't fake that, obviously.
I think that we've decided though that love isn't blind.
I think love itself is blind, but love is not enough to form a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
There's way more to it. That's what the experiment really shows.
Yeah, that's valid. That's a good take.
All right. Wow. Last but not least, I thought this had to do, like, it feels Halloween-y. So Anna Kendrick's directorial debut just landed on Netflix. It is called Woman of the Hour, and it has a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's about an aspiring actress that crosses paths with a serial killer in the 70s, and they're cast on an episode of The Dating Game.
Wow.
And it's based on a true story, and I'm really excited to watch it.
Based on a true story. That's so cool. I had no idea she wanted to direct or that she was going to.
Yeah, so. I knew she wanted to because I listened to her on Armchair and she talked about it. But this is so cool and I'm so glad that it's like going well. That's amazing.
Yeah, 91 is impressive.
That's great. So I am going to watch that on one of my breaks. I'm excited.
Okay, I also have to say that there is like a monster movie rom-com that's coming out.
Oh, yes.
Your Monster.
I saw that.
It's coming out to theaters. Yeah, so it's starring...
I saw this. One of our listeners...
Melissa Barea, and also Megan Fahey's in it.
Oh, interesting.
One of our listeners that we follow on Those Forking Fangirls posted about this because she went to an early screening, Kaya, and it was so cool. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It gives fanfic.
Oh, Kaya. Yeah. No, it looks so cute. Like, I think she just, like, the main character. Okay, after her life falls apart, soft-spoken actress Laura Franco finds her voice again when she meets a terrifying yet weirdly charming monster living in her closet. A romantic comedy horror flick about falling in love with your inner rage.
It sounds so
interesting.
Good.
It's funny. Like, if you watch the trailer, I watched a couple months ago.
I trust.
No, and it looks so cute,
Can
too.
Can we watch the trailer after?
Wait, yes, is the monster hot?
I'm sure.
He looks like, I mean, like, he looks like Beauty and the Beast, but, like, you know, in human real form. You know, not like, but.
Can you like a guy with prosthetics on.
Stop.
You know, he looks cute. He's hairy.
Yeah, he's hairy and big.
Which I love. Hairy and big. Sign me up.
All right.
That's literally my type. Well, yeah, I mean, the actor's hot.
So it's going to be in actual theaters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. That's cool. Okay. We are going to move into our main discussion. But before that, I want to take a quick second and thank everybody out there that's listening because we really appreciate our podcast listening fam at Those Forking Fangirls.
Really?
We really do. And if you don't already, we'd love it if you follow the podcast for free in your favorite podcast listening app. So whether that be Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, anywhere, you can follow the podcast for free and never miss an episode. And if you like to watch this show, we are on YouTube, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. And you can subscribe for free there and never miss an episode visually.
And see our visual
and
costumes.
See our costumes today. You don't want to miss visual our costumes.
All costumes are visual, babe.
Woof, woof.
Oh. I love you. Okay. Wait.
Hit us.
Science.
That was really good.
Wow.
Oh my god. We can all rock some parcel tongue.
Really good just now.
And if you don't know already, we are a viewer-supported podcast, which means that we don't have many sponsors. We are able to do the show because we have a Patreon. We're able to do the show because of viewers like you who support us on our Patreon. All right. And we have a $5 level called Team Jacob where you get the show ad-free. You get to come to the recordings and chat in the chat, be a part of the live conversation. And you get our half an hour extra show after every single episode called Fangirl Tea Time. All right. We just got some more personal stuff going on in our lives there, stuff that's a little deeper that we're kind of like not as comfortable talking about on the main show, but we love talking about with our Patreon family over there. And that is available at the $5 level. And if you want to test it out before you commit, you can do a free trial for 7 days. See how you like it. If you do like it, you can subscribe for the year and get a 16% discount, or you can subscribe month to month. And then we have two other levels, Team Edward and Team Polis Bananas, with lots of other perks as well. Team Polis Bananas, we do our fangirl bonding sessions over Zoom every month, and we get to know each other really well. It's so fun.
So fun.
And there's lots of other perks that you can check out on the Patreon. Look
it's
in our show notes.
It's a yapping good
link.
Time.
Oh, it's yeah. a yapping yap. Good time.
We yap.
Patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. All right, y'all. Links in the show notes. We are going to roll into our Halloween discussion. If you're a Patreon, we're going right in. If you are not, we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. It's time for our main discussion. Today, we're talking Halloween, and we're going to kick things off with our top three things we've ever dressed up as for Halloween. Who wants to start us off? Natasha, you want to give us your favorite three costumes you've worn for Halloween?
I will say, though, before Natasha goes, the lack of cosplay made me sad because I feel like...
No, but because that was in our social media era, so everyone knows it if they're following
that's
us.
That's valid.
We
that's
want valid. The lost stories.
We just did cosplay, like all three of us, though, that we like were obsessed with. So
which one?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and they got to see it.
Yeah.
We want stories from our childhood.
Okay.
Okay. In seventh grade, my parents went on a trip and I was staying over at my grandparents' house for Halloween, and my mom had all of my ideas for my costumes. Like she would tell me and then she would get me really excited about it, and then I'd be like, yes, let's do it.
That's so cute.
That is so cute. She loved dressing up so much, and she sewed, so
oh shucker. where do you get it from?
Well, yeah, my grandma sewed, my mom sewed, and that's where I like got it from. And my next door neighbor sewed. But in seventh grade, my parents went on a trip, and my mom, and it was like the first year that we could wear costumes to school. Like we couldn't wear it at elementary school, but we could wear it.
You weren't allowed?
School. No. Yeah, we were in uniforms in elementary school. So
that's so sad.
But in seventh grade, I was like, yes, we get to wear a costume. And I wasn't your typical, you know, I was, you know, a theater kid and all of
theater.
That.
Theater.
And my mom, I I was a distinguished lady.
I was a thespian.
I was. And I also, like, my education thus far was a shit ton of movies, you guys.
Films.
And my mom's like, what if you did Audrey Hepburn from Breakfast at Tiffany's? And I was like,
in seventh grade?
Yes.
Crazy.
Seventh grade, babes. So my mom, like, let me wear her pearls. She had, like, this black mini dress from the 80s that I could wear.
That's so cute.
She got, like, the whole, like, cigarette thing.
Yeah, the thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the long.
Yes. I wore her, like, black opera gloves, and, like,
so
a
chic.
Tiara. Yeah.
So chic.
And then, well, they were gone on Halloween, so she's like, honey, I can't help you with your hair, so we have to practice. And this is where I started with my hair journey and, like, being good at updos. Yeah. So we practiced and like I kind of just did it by myself. Like, I just winged it. Like, I put my hair up and I started just, like, putting it together with a bunch of bobby pins, and I like went downstairs and my mom was like, oh, fabulous.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then, yeah, and then that morning of Alex was, I'm not gonna tell what Alex was, I think that might be bad, but anyways, my grandma, I came out and my grandma was like, oh, honey, you look fabulous. So, like, I didn't care, whoever at school had no idea who I was, as long as the adults understood and all my teachers were like, oh, Audrey Hepburn, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and
oh,
I felt
God.
Classy and chic.
I bet you looked classy and chic. That is.
And sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cute. Mm-hmm. Chloe, you want to hit us with one?
Sure. For so many years in a row for elementary school, I did Eloise.
You did the same thing every year.
Oh, my gosh.
At the Plaza. Oh, yeah. Every year for a while because I'm French. So I was like, Eloise is French and I'm French.
Oh.
And it was just a book that, like, I loved so much growing up. So I think I did it, like, kindergarten, first, second, third.
Wow.
So, and
it's
like,
a big run.
It was a big run. And honestly, I'd do Eloise again. She's a cutie patootie. She also, like, loved pink. I don't know. Like, she was the first character I saw myself in.
Was your hair, like, in that, like, sticky straight?
Yeah, the sticky straight blonde. And honestly, I had her hair. Okay. Like, Eloise and I had the exact same hair because my hair is naturally, like, dirty blonde. So it was perfect. Yeah.
Nice. When I was in second grade, I was super into Nick at Night. And you know how Nick at Night used to have, like, their block party summer? I don't know if you guys aren't as my age. I was only seven, so.
I remember, like, Nick at Night.
They had, well, when you were watching Nick at Night, it was probably, like, more like Fresh Prince and stuff. But back in, like, the 1996, 1997, they had I Dream of Jeannie, the Beverly Hillbillies, Brady Bunch, all of those, like, classics from, like, the 60s, 70s, the Munsters and all that. So I got obsessed with I Dream of Jeannie because of the magic. Like, and I love the theme song, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I wanted to be her because I wanted magic. This is, like, before I discovered Harry Potter. And Harry Potter made it feel like I could actually be magic. But I wanted to be I Dream of Jeannie because I wanted to be, like, be able to do her.
That's
like, she crosses her
a little.
Arms, and yeah, she goes like this. Yeah, yeah. And she does magic. She, like, bops her head forward and closes her eyes. And I also, Bewitched was on Nick at Night at that time, but, like, her costume wasn't as cool as I Dream of Jeannie, because I Dream of Jeannie had this, like, really cool, like, sexy Jeannie costume. And her hair was also, I think it had, like, a bit of a poof.
She had a poof. You kind of, you honestly look pretty similar.
Yeah. So I loved her look. I wanted it to be it so bad. So my mom found me, like, the costume in, like, one of those magazines because we had to order from the magazines back in the day.
A catalog.
The catalogs. And I remember I felt so cute in it, but like I had a full on white turtleneck under because it was like a little crop top.
Yeah.
In October. But like I had a white turtleneck over, but I loved like the little hat with like the thing. And cute. I just felt so cool. I was like, I am magic. That was when I was 7. Crazy times.
Crazy times. Okay, I'm going to say this costume because I think it was revolutionary for me, and I acknowledge that this movie, you should not be dressing up at this movie anymore. Mm-hmm. But I did dress up as Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind when I was in 6th grade. And again, I love the old movies, the costumes.
The costumes are insane in that movie.
There's some of the most gorgeous things I think I've ever seen.
And it was one of the 2 first movies to be in color.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure they win for costume design.
Yeah, they won. They swept the Oscars that year. But I had, like, that was like one of the movies that I always...
1939.
Yeah,
wow.
That was like one of the movies I always watched with my mom when I was younger. It was like Funny Girl or Gone with the Wind. And obviously Breakfast at Tiffany's, like.
Yeah.
But I think I was in 6th grade and we found it at like a costume shop. And it was like this huge hoop skirt. Like this was the first time I wore like a ball gown. I had like the big hat and everything. And I felt so cool in it, even though it was, you know, like a big poofy dress. Like, I still felt like it was, like, the coolest costume ever.
Well, that tracks with your personality and your fashion sense.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we're learning the formative, like, the years that have built us to where we are now.
Yeah.
Like, making our own ball gowns and constantly dressing like a princess. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I felt like that costume was extremely formative for me. I remember, like, this is when we started being able to take pictures on our cell phones and wanting to take a picture and send it to my dad.
Hey, how old were you?
I think I was in 6th grade. It was like 2006, but we couldn't send pictures yet.
So you could take like pictures, really blurry, just not send. Like,
yeah. So then I was like, oh, if I can only take a picture and send it to my dad and see what he would think.
That's so cute.
But I trick-or-treated in that dress. I didn't wear it to school, but we trick-or-treated in it. And again, none of the kids knew who I was, but the parents did, and that's all I needed.
What do kids know?
Yeah.
Chloeth, when did you dress as Elle?
So this costume for me is actually just has a really special place in my heart because it was last year, and I had been working really hard on myself and my body and like my health, and I had just gone through like a really traumatic breakup, like probably the most traumatic breakup of my life. I thought I was going to be with this person forever, and he kind of pulled the rug out from under me, and I just was like so lost. I didn't feel sexy, I didn't feel pretty, I didn't feel like myself. Like, I was really struggling to find my sparkle. And Elle Woods has always been like such a centering character for me because she's like really strong and smart, but also super feminine. And I dressed as her when she was the bunny and she like gets invited to the costume party. That's not actually the costume party. Yep. And I felt so pretty for the first time in months. I remember like putting it on and being like, oh my God, like I feel like myself again. And it was such a moment because I was like, damn, like Elle Woods like had such a turning point in this scene. Like, I want this to be my turning point too. So this was last Halloween, and like just seeing where I am now and like how far I've come and also like who I am as a person now, I'm just like really proud. But yeah, it was the first time I had felt sexy in like a while. So it's one of those like really special costumes for me. And it's just such a good one. Like Elle Woods.
Oh yeah.
Is, and like, she's always one that I can pull out of my closet too. So
yeah.
It's so funny, like, how I think costumes can be, like, so transformative. Like, you could be someone else and then, like, kind of put on that persona.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And feel that sort of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I was putting armor on.
Yeah.
Even though I was, like, putting less clothes on.
But yeah. I think that's why, like, I'm so obsessed with it. Like, I'm just so obsessed with
getting dressed
sewing up. And getting dressed up and being a different character.
It really helps, like, if you're not feeling confident, that, like, it really helps engage that, like, fake it till you make it mentality, because you can pretend like you're being someone else and you don't feel like you're faking it, but then, like, that's how you get confident.
It was special for me, definitely.
For my next one, it was like very similar feeling when I put it on in terms of like confidence, because in fourth grade, one of the first musicals Olivia and I watched together on VHS, it was like one of my mom's favorite movies, so she put it on for us. We rented it from like Blockbuster, and that's Grease. Yeah. With Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. and I was obsessed with Grease. We watched it so much. All the bad stuff in it just went right over our heads.
Same.
And in that, we looked through those Halloween catalogs like religiously, and we saw that there was like the costume, like that black tight outfit that Olivia Newton-John wears at the end of the movie, and there was Pink Ladies. So Olivia got the Pink Ladies costume, and I was Olivia Newton-John, and I had like these like disco ball earrings and the black outfit and like my curly hair from like the sponge curlers. And I just remember going to school.
Oh my God, the sponge curlers.
Cool.
Oh my God. I used to do those all the time. And I feel like for Sandy, they're perfect, but they never came out good. And they always like had like the ends straight.
Oh, my mom was so good at doing them. They would come out perfect. I use them for dance all the time.
That's so cute.
And I just remember holding like a duffel bag. I don't know if it was part of my costume, but like I was holding it like she holds her jacket over her shoulder, you know?
love.
I was like, I feel so cool. I was not like the cool girl in fourth grade, but that day I was like,
you were. I love that.
Okay, so my last costume, which I was trying to go back in the dregs. Like I was Tinkerbell, I was Sleeping Beauty, but one year my mom made me a pink cat. She found
this. Was it like a dress or was it like a cat suit?
It was like a dress, but we found like this like pink cheetah little set that you could buy from like the Halloween store. Like with gloves, and I love the gloves because it had like fake nails on them. So it was like ching ching ching, and then it was like a long undersuit, and then the pants too with it, and then the ears, and then my mom made me like this like furry pink like little dress that goes over it, and then she did my makeup so good that year, like that was like the first time I had like eyeliner and glitter and sparkle, and I felt so cute. And like old, because I had like little fingernails.
Old, like mature, grown up.
Yeah.
And Alex was Neo from The Matrix.
Oh, so you didn't really go together.
We never went together. We both just picked what we wanted to wear.
Olivia and I surprisingly went together a lot. Like we did the year she was an old man. I was an old woman.
That's cute. Wait, that's so cute, actually.
That is really cute.
I wish I had a sibling.
What's next on your list? Last one.
Okay, my last one. I'm so excited about this year's costume, so I kind of want to talk about it. Oh. I'm making it, like, for the first time.
You broke all the rules.
What
rules? I guess I didn't say this rule.
Was social I not media. Allowed to...
You didn't say social media. You said
I didn't say the social media. It's I just okay, had it in my head. Good. Go ahead. Go, guys.
This isn't for social media. It's for a party.
It's fine.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm being Lava Girl, and I'm making it all myself, and the BF is going to be Shark Boy.
Oh, my God.
And I'm making his costume, too. And it's, like, so far, it looks really, really good. And, like, I don't know. It's, like, sexy, obviously, Lava Girl, because... You must be. But I'm super excited about it, and I get to like have pink hair, which I've always wanted. So
are you doing the warbler or
Natasha helped me with a lot of supplies and like planning it out, so
nice. My last favorite was when in high school me and my best friend dressed up as Mario and Luigi. And so this is Jenna who did this with me. And I was Luigi because I was like the taller of the two, and I just loved wearing those overalls. And I had like, we like made it ourselves. So we went to Walmart and we bought overalls, and we've cut out like, you know, like the stars from when you play Mario. Oh, and we put it in our pockets.
That's like, so cute.
And we got like white gloves and like these amazing mustaches that I've yet to find whenever I want a mustache that like clips on. So it looks really real because it's like,
clips on your nose?
Yeah, it clips right under here. And it didn't hurt or anything. And I could go like this. Whoa. And it would be like, it was so cool.
I feel like Amazon? No?
I don't know. I haven't. You only find only the stick-on ones. I got it. We got that at a real store because it was 2007, 2008.
A real store.
Yeah, like at like Party City or something. I don't know. But it, and we like dyed the hats because they didn't have the right color. So like made mine like green and hers red. And it was just so cute.
Okay, DIY.
And
okay, crafty.
That's not you. That's very impressive.
Well, you know, Jenna.
Oh, okay.
Jenna's definitely more crafty than I was. But both of us weren't like artists.
That's what you have me for now.
But yeah, I just remember like it was really fun walking around in high school and like feeling really like proud of our costume together. Yeah. And we were always like Tweedledee Tweedledum in chemistry. Well, she's a doctor, so she was actually good at chemistry, but like we were lab partners and we often burnt things or spilled things. And it was just fun doing our lab as Mario and Luigi. But all right, on a different note, what was your least favorite costume ever?
Okay, mine is actually Dream of Genie.
Yeah, I saw this and I was like, what?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. It's because it was the first time that I was very aware of my body.
Aww.
Because I, like, well, in California, it's usually warm during Halloween. So it wasn't like your situation where we had to wear a turtleneck. But, like, I wore a, like, nude leotard underneath it. And we had to go to, like, different ballet stores to, like, try to find my right size. And it was just, like, that's where it all started. I was very young, too. I think I was probably like 8 or something, 8 or 9. And I was just like very aware that I didn't have the correct body type to be I Dream of Genie. And it just, so that's probably, even though I looked cute and I like loved my ponytail and my mom thought I was like so cute. She was like, she was the one again who suggested I be I Dream of Genie. Aww. It just like didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's so hard. I remember that moment too when you realize that you're like bigger than the other little girls or like that they don't necessarily have your size. I don't know what to do with the tongue. I don't know what to do with the tongue. Yeah, we're going to pin it. Thank you. I was like, I don't know what to do with it. I remember a distinct moment like that too. It's so hard, especially like trying to find a Halloween costume.
Yep.
That's so tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't believe that the member of the Scarlet O'Hara one, we found that. I think I was sixth grade and like that it fit me.
I feel like I was shopping in like the women's costumes. I remember I was in too. Sixth grade.
They're very sexy. They don't work for children.
Yeah. So I was a bumblebee in sixth grade. I remember, and it was like a tube top bumblebee costume and I like put under stuff under, but it fell off during school while I was running around. Yeah, the entire dress.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. But Halloween costumes are definitely traumatic when you can't find what you're looking for and, like, when nothing's working. And it's just hard.
Yeah. Oh, wait, your turn.
I've left a lot of my Halloween costumes. There's been a few years that I haven't gone out, so like I feel like that was probably the worst.
Yeah.
But the one I always go to, and I feel like it's boring now, is I just like slap on my Slytherin robes, call it a day.
I've done that too.
Yeah, it's my go-to.
Mm-hmm. I remember mine was so dumb. I didn't have an idea.
Her twin with her.
Yeah.
Twinsies. I know. He keeps barking at the doors and like coming near me. so Anyway, mine was, you know, when you start to be like, am I still doing Halloween? Should I? Like, yeah. It's like that when you're like 14. And then at the last minute, Jenna and I were like, I guess we could just be tennis players because we had these skirts that matched that like kind of felt tennis-y and shirts that matched it. And I borrowed my mom's tennis racket and I wore a visor. And I was just like, this doesn't look like a costume at all. But
it's a costume. Mom.
We trick-or-treated like that.
Oh.
I'm what? Picturing you like in high school, like being like kind of a sexy tennis player, but you trick-or-treated.
I was not sexy. I was like flat-chested, tiny little blip. I didn't go through puberty yet. I was 14.
You're 14. Okay. Yeah, I think that is like kind of the threshold. That's like, do you go trick-or-treating still?
I don't think I went my freshman year.
Oh, I have younger siblings, so I went all through high school.
That makes sense. But that's a cheat code because I wanted to trick-or-treat until I was a senior in high school. I was upset that I didn't get to.
I stayed home and passed out candy. That's what I did.
Yeah.
See, okay, this kind of moves into like favorite Halloween memory. Harkening back, we loved Halloween because we would go to my Nana and Papa's, oh my God, what is it called? Complex or like the area where they lived. And they lived in this giant circle. And like, so it was so easy to go from house to house. And all the houses were like on and open. You know what I mean? They all had like decorations and like we're giving out candy and we would bring our friends. So it would always be like me and Olivia, and I would bring my best friend Jenna, and Christina started coming later on, and we'd all go together. And we would bring like pillowcases. Like, what did you guys trick or treat with? Like, we'd have pillowcases.
Oh, we had
candy in.
Pillowcases.
Yep. Yeah, that was the best way.
I think pillowcases when I was older, and like I realized that other people were also doing pillowcases. Like, I that was like the cool thing to do, to have a pillowcase. But I feel like before that, I had like a little basket.
Oh, like a little stupid lantern. When we were young. I got those when I was like 3.
Yeah.
But you can't hold enough candy in that.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, so we would go there. We would like first go to my Nana's house, and she would come with us too. And like my mom would come with us, and we would take pictures of our costumes and then like do the whole trick or treating and then come back, and we would do like the stock market floor. Like we'd all like jump our pillowcases and like have our spots and start trading. Ugh, it was so fun. And I really loved the year where like Olivia was the old man and I was the old lady. I had like
That's
a cane
so
and like
That's
pillow
so
in my butt, so I looked like I was like leaning over.
Oh my God.
And Olivia was like this like biker old man with like a beard, and like she had like a giant like jacket over a pillow, so she looked like one of those old men that were like this
with like a tummy. That's cute.
It was really cute and weird because they didn't know she was a girl. And like and then it was Olivia loved these costumes where you like she was unrecognizable.
That's fun. That sounds like her.
Yeah, she was Abe Lincoln one year and the same thing happened. Like,
oh my
Abe
Lord.
Lincoln?
That's Olivia's weird side coming out.
I was about to say, I'm like, I don't know this side of Olivia because all the stories you tell me are opposite of this. That's so funny.
This is what I like mean when I'm like, you guys don't know that like Olivia is like super weird.
Yeah.
We're all super weird, but we're
hot. But she just doesn't give it.
But that's the thing. When you're you don't see weird first.
No, but she gives like too good to be weird. You know what I mean? That attitude is annoying and like would never be weird because she's like too cool. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
We're all weird. Deep
we
down.
Are all weird. You just got to dig. You don't have to dig very far to find her.
Not for us, no, but for other people.
Yeah, people like to hide.
So what are y'all's favorite Halloween memories?
I think when I was Tinkerbell, that was when I think we started trick-or-treating with our friends. Like, we would just kind of go around, like, my mom, Alex, and I, and then sometime, like, go around a neighborhood and then trick-or-treat just to say hi to everyone so they could see us in our costumes. But then with my Girl Scout troop, we would all get together, and then trick or treat around like the main neighborhood that everyone like lived in. And it was so fun. Like the streets were just so crowded. Like,
yeah, they're just packed with kids. So now packed I don't with see kids. That.
I know.
It's yeah. so I don't know if it's just the area.
No, or the time. I think it's a safety thing.
Yeah. Like there's so too many fun. People putting like crap in candy and you just can't trust it anymore.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. I feel like what's really popular is like the shopping center trick or treats. I feel like I see those.
Or the trunk or treats.
Yeah, the trunk
or treats. What the hell is that?
It's like when you open, it's like it's popularized during COVID, but it's like,
everyone
goes to a parking lot and they open their.
It started, I think, in churches and things like that. Yeah. Like we would also go to like our church would have like a big Halloween thing too.
Call it a Halloween thing?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I've been driving past. There's a church like right next to my house. And every time I drive past, it says Harvest Festival, but it's like on October 30th. And I'm like, bruh, just call it Halloween.
Trunk or treat is so dumb. I also like loved. So my aunt would come when she was younger, before she was married, would come over after like my mom got us ready. My mom would be just exhausted because she loved Halloween. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she loved getting us ready. But then she would just be so tired and like have to like get the stamina up to like go and take us trick or treating. So my aunt would come in for her role and then she would like come in and like hype us up. She goes, oh my gosh, you guys look amazing. And then
so cute.
She would take my aunt's like 7 years younger than my mom. So she was like in her early 20s. When we were young, and that was so fun for us to like be with our auntie and then go trick or treating with her. I have new memories now in ever since COVID.
Yeah.
I love going up to my best friend Heather's house and we like to carve pumpkins now.
Cute.
And my favorite thing is like her mom's recipe for pumpkin seeds. And that's like my favorite thing is like carving the pumpkin, and then Heather would make the pumpkin seeds and we sit down and watch a movie and eat the pumpkin seeds and like order in food, and it's just so nice.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I love how Halloween has evolved, but it still stayed special. Like mm-hmm. it's one of those holidays that like definitely changes as you grow up, but
it hasn't
it's
stayed
always
special for me.
Really?
I usually work on Halloween now.
Christine likes to work through a lot of her holidays.
Okay.
Well,
this Halloween, it makes total sense that you would work.
Because, to be fair, yeah, I have like a lot of deadlines that fall around that area. Mm-hmm. That's why. But no, just Halloween has changed for me because we dress up so much. So I don't feel the need to dress up for Halloween. And those like generic Halloween parties, like it's nice when our friends throw a Halloween party. But back like, I don't know, the last 10 years, there hasn't been like a friend that's like throwing a Halloween party. So it's like going to like those big random Halloween parties is not my jam. Mm-hmm. Like there was one Halloween that I think Natasha and I watched Stranger Things, and that was really fun. We like dressed up in these like footy pajamas.
Oh yeah. Cute. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's not been as fun. I think when we have kids it'll change again. But like in our singleness, it's
dependent
just
on what's going on.
Yeah. And that's why, like, having new traditions with friends is
That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like Halloween has changed as we've gotten older, and like how we celebrate or how we mark it. Even like just the idea of like fall, mm-hmm. but I still think that it's like fun that we still mark it as adults. Like we're mm-hmm. still like honoring the holiday in a sense. I don't know if honoring is the right word, mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm just looking at my house now. When I got my apartment, the first thing I wanted to do was decorate for the fall.
Also, y'all can't see it, but it looks so good. And Natasha decorated for Halloween / fall, and like it's just so pretty. And I came in and I was like, oh my god, it's so cozy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of my favorite things to do is decorating for the mm-hmm. season. And Alex, I sat down as I finished it, because I didn't start decorating until mid-October because I was so busy. Mm-hmm. Alex is like, oh, I just love your fall decorations. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
That's cute.
He never compliments me.
Really
I get one a month and that was it.
That's really nice.
I know. Aww. He's
like, out no, of I think everyone's, that yours it is was my favorite. Siblings. Like, when Olivia gives me a compliment, I'm like, whoa. Where did that come from? Oh, my God. Like, the slightest compliment, I'm like, oh, my God, she loves me.
I want to hear about your high school parties, because I never experienced that.
Yeah, did you go to high school Halloween parties?
I did, and I like, am nostalgic, not for the parties necessarily, but, like, driving around with my best friends from high school. It was Lily and Claire. We're still really close. We would drive around trying to find the best party, and, like, sometimes we didn't. Sometimes we would just be, we would just be in costumes together, like, laughing our asses off, and it was so fun. And then I remember, I don't know if y'all had this, but we had block parties in our neighborhood, and everyone would, like, get, like, around the cul-de-sac and, like, do pumpkin carving, and there was, like, themed drinks, and,
like,
yeah, and there was, like, a chili cook-off every year for Halloween. It was cute. I remember it. It was so sweet. But yeah, my neighborhood growing up was definitely, like, did a lot of, like, Halloween stuff together as a neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. I remember one specific party in kindergarten, and this could never happen now, but, like, we had a Halloween party in kindergarten where they, like, did the apple bobbing.
Yes.
And, like, we did, like, they hung, like, little donuts on, like, strings, and you had to, like, get tied behind your back. And I remember doing it, and it was so fun.
The Halloween parties at school were the best. Yeah. All you did was eat sugar.
Oh, yeah.
It worked.
Oh, my God. Those little powdered donuts that came, like, in those little boxes at the grocery store were so fucking
just, like,
good.
The holiday parties in school were the best.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day exchange.
Oh, yes.
The Christmas party, pizza party. Oh, love.
Mm-hmm. I loved when we celebrated Hanukkah, because I never got those latkes except at school.
Your school celebrated Hanukkah?
Yeah.
That's really special.
That is really cool. We did.
Yeah, we'd have like
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have one of like the moms that of, because there were so many Jewish students, would come in, and like she would have made latkes, and like I think we'd have them with like applesauce or something.
Yeah. Do you play dreidel and stuff? That's so
fun. Yeah, we played dreidel. Yeah, it was so fun.
Christmas and Hanukkah are actually overlapping this year, which will be fun. Yeah.
Nice. Whose turn is... Where are we?
We're done.
We're done. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're done. We
bought Halloween candies.
Okay. I'm in the wrong place on here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. When you're trick-or-treating, I think we're all, like, when you're young, you're, like, looking for a specific candy, and you're like, oh, my God, yes, best house ever. What candies were those for y'all?
Sour Patch Kids, number one, still to this day.
I never got Sour Patch Kids, ever.
I'm a gummy girly. Twix, I love
That's just
Twix,
like a high-quality candy, though. Like,
that is
Sour
Alex's favorite.
Twix is top tier.
Twix
Alex
is
and
good.
I are secretly the same person.
Yeah, you were.
No, that was my favorite in high school, too.
And then any house that had the full-size candy bars, it's like
that
we
was
knew.
My house.
Really? Oh. Yeah, we knew. That's dope.
My
that's
mom really got it from Costco.
Okay. Okay, slay.
Wow.
That's impressive. Yeah, we would know. Like, once you learned the houses that had full size, you would go back to those. But if they didn't that year, it'd be a huge disappointment.
Yeah, we always had those big ones.
From day one, baby Reese's. Still, they've even gotten better as we've gotten older, because now they're in pumpkin forms
so
and
yummy.
Ghosts, and it's just like, wow. If I had a whole bag of Reese's, I'd be set.
Yeah.
Nothing else, babe. I like the big Butterfingers. Anything
that's,
peanut
that is
butter.
A crazy take. I'm sorry. Butterfingers?
I
like
love
Butterfingers. Yeah. They stick to your teeth in a way that like hurt me.
I would trade those.
No, I love Butterfingers. And anything basically that was chocolate. So like Kit Kats, that's really it, guys. Snickers. I mean, I didn't care for... I just wanted Reese's. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And now I only buy Reese's when it comes to Halloween candy.
Yeah, that's the best thing about being an adult, is you can buy the candy you want.
My jackpot over any jackpot were those gummy lifesavers. They were like... And they would have like the mini packs of them
gummies.
For Halloween.
I just never liked that
candy. I love the chew.
I loved gummy lifesavers. They were amazing. And I would get like one pack per Halloween. I'd be like, oh my God.
I feel like it's a rare find.
It's rare.
A rare Halloween candy.
Cause, and then at the store, you could get like the bigger ones. I feel like gummy lifesavers have kind of died off. Like, I've never seen them now. They still exist
for sure. Okay, but I'm going to buy you them and start sending them to you.
Sour Patch kind of came of age and got popularized after my time trick-or-treating. Cause like...
they did, definitely.
Yeah. So my like gummy lifesavers were my like Sour Patch because I hated Sour Patch. But do you and Warheads? Oh my God, I fucking loved Warheads.
Nope, absolutely not.
That's crazy.
What we would do in like second grade is that we would get the Warhead and go to the bathroom and rinse it under the sink so all the sour stuff goes off, and then you eat it and it's amazing.
We'll just have another candy at that point that's sweet.
No, but the they were all different flavors that you don't get. You guys don't understand because you weren't in the age when Warheads became the coolest.
Oh, no, I was. I just hated them.
Well, that's because you didn't do it right. You have to rinse it under the sink.
I'm still stuck on the fact that you guys are too old for Sour Patch Kids.
No, I wasn't.
No, in high school, everyone was eating Sour Patch Kids, but it wasn't like in middle school and grammar school.
Damn. You know what candy came in later that I'm obsessed with? Is Take Five.
Me too. Oh my God. I used to just buy big things of them in college and have them in my drawer.
Do you not like Take Five?
It's too much.
Oh my God. No, it's the perfect balance of salty and sweet. I'm overstimulated
with Take Five.
I love Take Five. I love Take Five. my other big one was Nerds when we were trick-or-treating.
Those are so good. And the Nerds gummy clusters now.
Christine, oh my God, those are so good. Yeah, I tried one of them.
What was the one where you can like lick the stick and then like put it in the sour powder?
Fun dip.
Oh my God. That was crack. I forgot about that.
Literally crack cocaine. Alex is probably like,
I learned about that like freshman year of high school, and I remember like having it in childcare class and feeling like I was dying because I was like having hot flashes from so much sugar.
Definitely they were not good for you at all. Like they're probably the worst, but so good.
But yeah, Twix were my favorite chocolate candy bar. They're so good.
Everyone has Twix on theirs.
Twix is real good.
Twix is good, dependable.
Alex, I think last Christmas made me make a Twix like bar situation to bring as like a dessert. Why the
hell didn't I have any of this
situation?
I can't remember, or he made it. I was like, I don't want to do this. He's like, do it.
Oh my God, Milky Ways. I forgot about those. I loved Milky Ways growing up.
Fuck Milky Ways.
Okay, don't fuck Milky Ways. They're delicious. I only like the little Milky Ways.
That's true. Little Milky Ways taste better than big ones. Definitely.
The chocolate to the inside ratio is better.
Yeah, it's different.
There was a house that had fresh popcorn. Like they rolled out a whole popcorn thing. That was my favorite.
That's smart and cheap.
I would not trust that house. What if they peppered it with drugs?
Well, that's why people don't do that anymore.
Yeah, but when I was little, we still knew that. There were rules like don't eat any open candy or stuff that was homemade.
They knew them, so.
I would eat anything off the ground.
Was so good too. I loved those too. I forgot about all these chocolate bars, the little
Musketeers,
ones.
No.
Guys, the little ones, the fluffy inside.
I do think fun size was always better for some reason.
Yeah, because like when you have the big one, it's kind of too much.
It's too much of the same thing. The best part about Halloween is that you got the little ones and you got to like eat all the different flavors.
Yeah, there's only certain candy bars that you want in big size.
Yeah.
Was like the one that you would trade, like when. So, did you guys play the trading game when you finished? Trading?
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, so I would like hoard all my peppermint patties and like Hershey stuff because I'd be like, okay, like the big Hershey stuff and peppermint patties and Reese's because I'm like, people love this stuff. So this is how I trade.
You would
to get
trade
gummies.
Your Reese's?
Oh yeah, I would be willing to trade anything for something that I would actually eat. I would eat like one Reese's and be like, I'm good for a year.
I don't know good that for life.
Good for a year. She said, just one. Just Thanks one. So much. That's crazy. The peppermint patties, I'm with you there.
I did like those. Alex loved them, so I would trade them.
My mom loved them, too. So
I hated them. Yeah, no.
I hated them. I don't like any mint stuff.
York.
I like the Yorks, but I would give them to Alex.
It tastes like toothpaste.
Well, like I said, Alex loves Snickers and Twix, so I would trade those for Reese's. But then he would also be a stickler about Reese's because he does like Reese's. I was like, just give me the Reese's. I'll give you all of these, please.
I would trade my Snickers, too. I don't like Snickers.
And then I would give my mom all of my Almond Joys.
Oh, yeah. Almond Joys. I love
those little Almond Joys. I would just take off the almond because there's just one almond on top. They just take off. And then it's just coconut and chocolate. And I love that.
That's vile. No. It's disgusting.
Okay. I loved it. So it's good for you. We could have traded.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like you would have been the perfect person to trade with. Because everything that you like, I'm like, I don't know. But the Almond Joys, no one liked those. I don't remember a single person ever.
No, you know what? No one liked Mounds. Mounds looked like Almond Joys, and they were much worse. They were the red ones, red and white.
Almond Joys were both
the better ones.
No, I feel like both, though. Like, no one liked them, but they came in those big packs that people would buy. Yeah. So they would
It was like in the Hershey's pack, because it's a Hershey product.
I remember, like, literally our Halloween bowl would only have Almond Joys by the end of the night.
Why do they still make them?
Because people like Christine. Like
people
that.
Like coconut and chocolate together.
I guess my mother loved them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I actually, there's like, remember the 100 grand one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like I didn't like those. People like those, though. Milk Duds, Caitlin is talking about. Milk Duds were awful. And my dad always like, yeah, they're so sticky. I don't understand them.
The initial taste is like good. And then you're like, wow, this isn't worth it. None of this is worth it.
Yeah. Oh. What's the
what about the dots?
Oh my god, I did not like those either.
I like dots. What's the, like the crunch ones? Like they're like chocolate covered, like
crunch. Yeah, crunch bar. I used to like those, and then I didn't like them by the time I graduated.
Oh, I didn't like the I didn't like the bubbles by the end of the like.
At the end, there's like little bitties. But then I would just like shove it. So I get those at the movie theater.
I used to get those at the movie theater
when I was little.
Mm-hmm. I like those.
I remember they had like the little versions, like the didn't they have like crunch, like little circles that you could buy, like kind of like those Raisinettes, something like that.
Oh, I love Raisinettes.
That. Yeah, I used to get Raisinettes too.
I have to be in such a specific mood for Raisinettes.
I used to love them when I was little.
The cookie dough ones. Are you talking about those?
No, I loved those in high school, but like when I was little, I used to eat those raisins, the chocolate covered Raisinettes.
Brittany says I loved Whoppers. I'm
sorry. Oh, I did not. I like could not get into malt. Those.
I don't like malt.
I like the idea of Whoppers. They Whoppers liked having so Raisinettes bad. And they looked like them. And I was like, what is this? It's hard.
Brittany, we could have traded. New faves are nerd clusters. Megan, the nerd clusters live rent-free in my brain. And now they have the little tiny packs that you can buy. And I'll just, you know... into my mouth. That was someone's gonna clip Gobble that and down. I'm gonna hate it, but it's okay.
It's fine.
All right, let's move into like our top three like scary books that have the Halloween vibes. What are you guys
also vampire books, like, you know?
No, I get where you're coming from.
You know what, I was thinking about this morning, and I feel like the Mortal Instruments for me has like very Halloween-y vibes.
I feel the same too.
Yeah,
because I like to listen to a very specific, like, I like to listen to Evanescence when I'm reading.
It's a fall book for sure.
Yeah. So I feel that. Okay, I guess some people do. I think I've talked about this series way, way back in BookTube time, and I think I brought it up recently. This is the Experiment in Terror series by Karina Hale. The first book is called Dark House, and it's a romance. It's a romance series, very early on for me. It was like the first romance series that I read. But we follow a girl who gets cast on this internet like ghost hunting show with her like this partner, and they go. Each book is set like at a different haunted place. And it was very scary for me to read. I don't know if it would be now, but it was like giving X-Files, like each different book was a different case that they would go into. And then their like romance was toxic, but great, because he was in a relationship and like they were both falling in love with each other. And it like, and like they would be put in different situations and have to save each other, which is my favorite thing. So, love that. If you guys are in, it is scary though. Like I remember having to put it down at night and not being able to read it until the next morning. Cause it was a little scary.
Chiffon says the new Percy Jackson book is a Halloween book and I love it. Oh, that's great.
Oh,
good to know. Cause I need to read it. I love Ninth House as like a spooky, as a scary Halloween time series. I think that's a perfect, really dark story for this time of year.
It's on my TBR.
And I just thought of something else.
You got to get the audiobook.
Okay.
Yeah.
The audiobook is so good.
It's okay. Excellent. I will. Yeah. I'm happy to do that. It's like, I think next after,
Sarah.
Yeah. I don't read a lot of spooky books. This is going to be like a thread, like a through line the rest of the conversation, but like I just can't handle anything scary. Yeah. And like I mostly partake in like children's scary, but mm-hmm. I do love Frankenstein.
Okay.
Like the original Frankenstein is one of my favorite books.
Okay, then you would like this book. Yeah. That I'm going to now tell you about.
Okay.
This is Angela Frankenstein Makes Her Match by Sally Thorne, who wrote The Hating Game.
Okay.
And it's very different. She wrote it in this like old English way. I read it when Christine and I went to the UK 2 years ago. And it's so fun. Basically, she's the sister of Frankenstein. She wants to make herself a husband and she doesn't. She gets all the nice parts and puts them together.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, kind of like our book boyfriend.
Yes, exactly.
It's giving that.
Okay, I will put it on my list. Yeah, I love Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's really fun. I always recommend that one.
What's your last one here, Sunshine?
Okay, I've never talked about this book, but this is a vampire book because I had a lot of expectations for it because I thought it was like a romance book, but it's now classified as like a YA and there's not really any romance, but I always think about it because if I'm thinking about like if I want a vampire book, this was something that I wanted, but it's called Sunshine by Robin McKinley. And we follow this girl, Sunshine, and she gets captured, and it's like set in our time. She gets captured and then placed within this room with this vampire who's like chained up, who hasn't like fed in like a long time. And they're trying to race the clock because they talk. And then so you're getting to know him and her like through the night, and they're trying to race the clock to get out of this and help each other to get out of the situation because he's also locked up there before he burns. Yeah.
Whoa.
And it was written back in 2003. So it's like a deep cut if anyone's ever read it. But I read this like 2020 because I was looking for like a sexy vampire book, and it wasn't that. I'm going to tell you that, but I still love the vibes of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move into movies, because I am not a big scary movie person, so it was interesting thinking about this.
Yeah, Natasha's representing the scary.
Yeah, well, there's still Halloween movies that aren't, like, scary, though. And my favorite one that I've ever watched, I think, is What We Do in the Shadows, like the movie. Mm. And I remember it was like, I think it was John and I's like third date because Halloween was coming up. And we watched What We Do in the Shadows and it was so funny. So fun. And if you guys haven't watched the movie.
I remember when you watched that. That's funny.
Yeah, because it was like one of the first couple dates. So it was like early on, lots of anxiety. yeah, we had a great time watching that movie. And if you haven't watched the show, like, you don't have to watch the show. Obviously, the movie came before the show, and that's what inspired the show. And it was just really, it's a great, spooky, scary, not really scary comedy movie.
Yeah. I just have to say, a couple people mentioned books in our chat. Caitlin said The Unbecoming of Mara Dyer, which Christine also mentioned, but I don't think she talked about.
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about it.
Siobhan said The Diviner series by Libba Bray has witches and ghosts and is definitely very spooky. Yeah, all of those. I'm actually reading one, too, that I'll talk about next week.
Oh, mm-hmm. Intrigue.
Nice. So, okay, movies. Okay, one of my favorite ghost movies is The Others with Nicole Kidman. And this was kind of, this was really popular because they spoofed it in Scary Movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, I've seen the spoof of this, I think.
Yeah. It's really good. It's a really good twisty tale. It's set, I think, amongst World War II in a English countryside manor. And Nicole Kidman's the star. I remember showing this to my best friend, Abby, and she just could not stop talking about this movie because the twist got her that bad. This is one of the movies I like to show to people. When I'm like, oh, you haven't seen this? Okay, you should watch the others.
I feel like everything that you watch and that Christine watches, I'm on that. I'm constantly like, okay, I'll watch it.
Yes.
I'll watch it. Halloween Town is like, I think my number one favorite Halloween movie. It's just so nostalgic to me. It's so safe. The vibes are so good. And I just like love the magic system. There's not a magic system, but I love how magic works in Halloween Town. I think it's so cute. It's just so cozy and comfy and spoopy.
I've tried to watch it. Like, Heather has made me watch it. Because I didn't watch it as a child.
I was going to say, I think it's boring without the nostalgia, which is how I feel about Gilmore Girls. Like, I think you have to watch it at a certain moment.
I watched
that in my 20s.
Yeah, me too.
Oh. Weird.
Okay.
It's just not your vibe. What was I going to say? Okay, wait. I remember my favorite Halloween movie. I completely forgot it existed. But we had this on VHS and we used to watch it all the time. And it was a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie called Double Trouble.
Yes.
And they are twins and it takes place during Halloween. And like their mom's a witch. And she gets, or their grandma gets trapped in like a spell in a mirror. And they have to free her from the spell. And it's so good. I want to rewatch it. Wait, it's been like, I don't know how many years, so long, because I watched it on VHS, but Olivia and I watched it so many times. It had magic and spells and witches, and they had to break the spell. They were like, they had like a gang of, like misfits together to free her from the mirror. Oh my God. I can't believe I forgot about Double Trouble. Did any of you watch this?
No,
I didn't
watch any of
their movies. I loved Mary-Kate and Ashley. I was definitely after their time, but I watched most of their movies, if not all of them, if I'm honest.
Yeah, they were young in this movie.
We had them on VHS too.
Yeah, they were like, I would guess like 8, 9 in this movie. So,
I wanted to be them so bad.
Oh my God, I need to find that movie.
Where if it's streaming?
I bet it's somewhere. Yeah.
Or honestly, it might be on YouTube.
Be on YouTube because it's that old. And then Casper and Hocus Pocus, classics.
Casper was one of my sexual awakenings when I was little. Like human version of Casper.
Yeah.
Super cute.
Okay. If you've ever seen Witches of Eastwick, it's a 80s movie with Cher and Michelle Pfeiffer and Jack Nicholson. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen a lot of like Tumblr vibes of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic like film.
Yeah.
Kind of around the like when Death Becomes Her came out. Which is like another one, but we just recently talked about it because Sabrina Carpenter kind of brought it back.
Yeah.
But this is like, I thought this was so sexy. It's like, it's a sexy movie. Like Jack Nicholson,
look sexy.
They all look sexy. They all become like witches. They can be like, start to have like a romance affair with Jack Nicholson. And then he does something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but then they start torturing him basically. Cause I can't remember I need to watch it again, but, they get like a little doll and they like poke it.
Like a voodoo doll?
Yes.
Love.
But they all look hot, okay? They all look hot.
Saying,
they got
I've
big
seen
hair.
That. Yeah.
It is great. It is a great time for like the spooky times. I really would like to rewatch it. okay, real quickly, The Village, which
that's the YMCA one.
This is the M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan.
Night Shyamalan film. It's one of my favorites alongside Signs. And
they spoofed this in Scary Movie too, I think.
They did. And The Sixth Sense. Those are his best. And This one stars Bryce Dallas Howard. It's her first role. Also Joaquin Phoenix. Like a great romance in this one too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It is so fucking scary though. Like when I first watched it, you have absolutely no idea what's going on. They're set in like a town in like the 1700s. And at night, these like creatures come out from the woods and they have to like, they like sound the alarm and they all have to go like hide or else like the creatures like will kill you. And it's just terrifying. And someone gets hurt and Bryce Dallas Howard, who is blind in this film, has to go seek help, and she has to go trek through the forest to find help by herself.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I will say that area, that era, that time period, like the 1700s, like Puritan, Puritanical, yeah, like that is so scary and creepy, just the era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
My other two were just like super, you know, but Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Classic. So fun to sing along.
I feel like that's more of like a Christmas movie for me.
So I think that, that's a good debate. I think that this and also the Harry Potter movies, people like
those I watched.
It's like Halloween or Christmas. Holiday. I think they can probably be both.
They're Thanksgiving movies for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the nice in-between time.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Thanksgiving, whatever.
Me and Paul always watch a Harry Potter movie.
Okay. And then Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I just like love so much. And I also love attending the like local Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've never seen Rocky Horror. Really? It's so fun to go because you'll like, usually they're trans artists or queer artists that like act out the scenes in front of the movie. Mm-hmm. And they do like incredible links, like lip sync performances. I love it. And like the first time you go, if you're like a virgin, they'll like spank you. It's super fun.
Oh.
But I used to go all the time for Halloween.
Cool. That's, I want to go.
Yeah, they
let's
do
go. And watch it first.
The oh my god, Wallflower book. Oh my god, what is it called?
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. TV. Okay, for TV for me, Stranger Things, great Halloween binge, and then.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
No.
Is it scary?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Would you want to see it? Would you have to be with someone?
Yeah, if you're willing to hold me. Yes.
Okay, but this one, okay, this is the only like really scary thing that I've watched like multiple times and I love it so much. The third season of American Horror Story is so good. It's about a coven of witches. They like she runs a witch school and she's training these new witches and it is so fun and like creepy but like not too scary, you know? And like I love the rules of the witches and like they have to pass a series of tests to like become like a master of their powers or something. It's been a while since I watched it, but I have watched it more than once because I loved it so much. And both times I was like, this is amazing. I wish there was more of this because every season of AHS changes like to a whole different world. Mm-hmm. But by far my favorite. And if you wanted something to binge during like the Halloween season, I think this is perfect. And it's definitely on a streamer, I think, season 3 of AHS.
I've seen that season and it is one of their best seasons.
It's really good.
Okay, all of mine are pretty scary. Except for the last one. Okay, I love Mike Flanagan. If you guys don't know who that is, he is a filmmaker and I think a screenwriter, and he had a long-standing contract with Netflix, and he would put out these amazing shows. Not all of them were like top tier, but the first one he put out is The Haunting of Hill House. And I think about this show lives rent-free in my mind. Like my favorite type of scary genre movie is when a scary movie has heart. Mm-hmm. And this is a mini show, a mini series, right? I think about like 8 episodes, but we follow this family who moved into this house and their whole life just changed because they were haunted by
it. It was a haunted house.
But it's just so good because you follow each episode. There's like
it's
one episode.
So scary.
Have you seen it?
I watched the pilot episode because everyone was talking about how good it was, and they were like, it's like Lost. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to watch it. I had nightmares about that first episode for months. I was so scarred.
What I'm hearing you is that I should never watch
it. You cannot watch this, no. Chloe.
It's terrifying. But each episode is about each of the siblings, and it's someone's, one of the siblings has passed away. They're at the funeral, and they keep going back to their childhood each episode. There is one episode where it is one shot the whole time, and it is intense.
It's so scary. Like, they, like, tapped into, like, my worst nightmares of, like, the version of a haunted house and, like, brought it to life. I was just, like, I still think about it sometimes because there's this shot that, like, will haunt me forever in the first episode where, like, she's sleeping and the ghost that's haunting her is just, like, hovering terrifying. Right over their face. I was just, like...
Terrifying.
Like, I hate, like, laying in bed and just thinking there's, like, someone right
here.
Yeah,
that is the worst feeling. No.
That is absolutely not. No, that is terrifying. There is another thing I think Mike Flanagan did. It is a... Who's the one who wrote it?
Stephen King.
It's called Gerald's Game. That movie freaked me the fuck out. And never watch it. Christine, basically this woman, her husband has a heart attack while they're having sex and she's handcuffed to the bed and no one's there and things start happening and she can't do anything about it and it's terrifying.
And she has her
dead
husband.
Oh my God, what is it called?
Jesus. It's called Gerald's Game.
Ugh.
Okay, Mike Flanagan also did The Haunting of Bly Manor, which is not as scary, but it is way more sad. And it is just, it's such a beautiful story. So if you watch Haunting of Hill House, you could definitely watch Haunting of Bly Manor. And then, of course, The X-Files, which is...
There's one of the ones that the Haunting of Hill House guy did that takes place in a church. I remember Laura talking about it on the
Oh, my God.
That, I wanted to watch that
It's a
one.
Vampire one. That one is freaky. Yeah.
I, like, felt really interested in the... I just remember
You
the
can't watch it. It's too scary. There is let me look it up there. So it's set on this island and a vampire basically comes into town. Midnight Mass.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to watch that
and basically just kills everyone in a very scary manner and you can't escape because they're on an island.
I just realized I look like a frog. I do. I look like a frog.
I can see the frog.
It's because I know. It's tragic.
It's okay. We all look like something other than we dressed up.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah. I think that my favorite thing to binge on Halloween is like all the Disney Channel TV show Halloween episodes.
Life.
Yeah, Sweet Life, Wizards, they all had specific Halloween episodes.
Wizards of Waverly Place was so comfy.
Yeah, like they all had Halloween specific episodes and they were always so like goofy and fun and just like dumb, scary, which I can deal. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and our favorite dumb Halloween song, mine is definitely Ghostbusters. Like, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
It's so catchy.
In the neighborhood.
Mine, I didn't know this until social media, but it's definitely Spooky Scary Skeletons.
Yeah, I didn't know that until
social media either.
It's good. It's really good.
It's a good bop.
Mine is the Monster Mash. And
that's a classic.
I couldn't believe that the two of you didn't put Monster Mash.
No,
it's
a
graveyard
did.
Smash.
It is a mash.
I remember being in dance and we would have special days like right before Halloween and we would learn a special dance.
Oh, that's fun.
I remember the Monster Mash ones specifically.
I remember like all the elementary school Halloween parties. It was always like the Monster Mash is on in the background.
I see everyone saying, what is Chloe supposed to be? You know that meme that's trending that's like, my favorite animal is blank?
No.
No.
Oh. My favorite animal is this. Chloe dressed up as a snake frog. Pee.
All right, we're going to wrap this up with I Marry Kiss Cliff.
What's happening with your hands?
Okay, Marry Kiss Cliff. I did like a fall themed vibe because obviously it's our Halloween special. So these are activities that we do in the fall, okay? Going to a pumpkin patch, trick-or-treating, or dressing up.
So, like, this is us as adults.
Yeah. And, like, if we, but, like, suspend your disbelief if you could go trick-or-treating as an adult.
You can go trick-or-treating at Disneyland if you.
Yeah. Someone put that in the chat. Yeah.
Oogie boogie.
Oogie boogie.
I'm going to marry pumpkin. No, marry dressing up. And Kiss Pumpkin Patch and Cliff trick-or-treating as an adult. Because I don't really eat candy anymore.
Good for you.
I just don't like it. It makes me feel bad inside.
I think I'm going to Cliff Pumpkin Patch because I like apple picking better.
That's valid. Yeah. We went apple picking together. It was really cutie.
And then I'm going to definitely marry dressing up and then Kiss. Trick-or-treating.
I think I'm gonna marry dressing up because I love doing that.
We all love dressing up.
I'm thinking I'm going to kiss going to the pumpkin patch just because it like reminds me of being with my friends. I'm gonna cliff trick-or-treating.
Yeah, okay. We did the same
because I can go buy stuff. I can go buy candy, which I do every day.
I just have to say, the pipeline from being a book girly to loving to dress up is a very clear line.
It's the escapism of it all. The, like, wanting to be somewhere else and being in a different universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks. That was our Halloween spectacular. Woo! Thank you all for coming and hanging out with us today. We hope you have an amazing Halloween weekend. Amazing, safe, delicious Halloween weekend with whatever, whoever you're going to be with. We release episodes every single Friday. We are on social media. Our socials are run by Chloe Laverson, the snake today. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls, on YouTube at Those Forking Fangirls, on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls, so you never miss an update. And our show is edited by Alex Polis, Natasha Polis, Christine Riccio, and Ricky McBrayer. Our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. And we will be off now to go record Fangirl Tea Time, our extra half an hour show for our patrons. And if you want to become a patron, the link is in the show notes to check that out. Thank you all so much for hanging with us. And we will see you next Friday. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Chloe. Bye.
Bye.